What was your most unique experience?
Yeah, Film Vault. Yeah, Film Vault. Ooh, we're being eased into this episode, Anderson. Yeah, Film Vault. Welcome to Film Vault. Thank you for joining us this week. That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts for this week's topic. Top 5 worst date movies. I feel like the obvious thing to do and the thing you'll see a lot of on your MSNs and your Yahoos. And
what is that, MSN?
MSNs, the MSN.com, Microsoft Network, and the Yahoos of the world. You're very mainstream. No, I don't, but I'm aware that there are a lot of lists out there.
Yahoo, Google. Don't go deep with the MSN. Just confuses me right off the bat.
I feel like what I'm saying is people have Hotmail. They log in, and right there on the side, we have Yahoo.com mail, and right there on the side, there's like stories you might like. Top 5 date movies for Valentine's Day, and we're not all about top 5 date movies for Valentine's Day because that's the obvious thing to do. We're going to tell you some movies not to watch.
You're like the kid at school who's like, I'm wearing all black because it's anti-cultural and because it goes against what you guys are into. That's why I'm wearing black.
That's the obvious thing. I'm going to wear girls' clothes.
Mm-hmm. You do. A little bit.
Oh, come on.
You wear very scantily clad clothing when you come in here most nights.
True.
It's cold.
That's right.
My nipples are hard. Please turn up the heat. It's the chemo.
That is 100% accurate.
It's a chemo.
Oh.
I'm excited about tonight's episode. Tonight.
Speaking of chemo, the writing's going so badly.
Happy Friday, everybody. Very excited. Yeah, your writing's not good. Great. Sorry. All right, enough about your fucking writing. This is not the writer's corner. This is not writing beat. This is not the writing vault. Okay?
The 49ers have torn holes in my sails.
Ooh, my buddy was at that game. Oh, by the way, quick little window, a little glimpse into Brian's psyche.
Okay.
I sent out 5 separate texts, not mass texts, because I don't believe in that. God damn it, I hate Christmas. It's like, Happy Christmas, Merry Christmas. It's like, may all your wishes come true on this Easter, which is a weird thing to put on Easter.
That's a strange thing to say.
Yeah, but I always just say, fuck yourself. That's how I reply to mass texts. But I sent out individual texts to all of my 49er friends that are fans.
Yeah.
5 of them. And one of them. A boss of mine, somebody who may or may not be my boss, could possibly be my boss, way higher tax bracket, and somebody who's got a lot of power over me, who was at
you're talking about me now.
At the goddamn game.
Oh, up until then.
Sent me a picture of him and his son.
Up until then, that description fit me.
Shut it. Sent me a picture of him and his son at the game. Didn't hear from one person.
Who's that?
Your cuntliness. I'm looking at you. You. You did not. Why is that?
Sorry, I was too nervous.
Good luck with the game today, buddy.
I was too nervous. I was wrapped up in the game. You know why? You know what it was? I had been burned too many times from you. I was expecting this is like a phishing scam.
Listen, man, I don't hate the 49ers.
You're catfishing me.
I hate USC.
You had burned me. I had gotten multiple texts in my past when USC has been down.
Yeah, it's USC. Never about the Niners. Never about the Giants. I don't give a fuck.
I've been taunted many
times. Don't care about them.
Sharks are dominating.
Don't bother. Pat Flood. Don't. That doesn't bother me. It's the USC entitlement. The white entitlement that fucking destroys my my innards. Okay. Let's talk movies. Okay. Very excited about today's list.
I did very well in the prop bets, though.
Did you?
I did.
I bet there's going to be a blackout. 1,000,000 to 1.
No, but I did. I did put a lot of. I did bet heavily. See, I did my research, Anderson.
If Brian had his way, this entire program would consist of riding up and downs.
Hmm.
The ups and downs of writing a novel.
I'm done with the writing.
And disappointments with the Super Bowl.
I did my research ahead of time.
I don't sign off on either.
I realized that the Ravens were the number one team in the NFL all season in kickoff return yardage. And the Niners were the second to last team in kickoff return yardage allowed.
So
I went all in on a kickoff return for a touchdown. And,
what does all in mean?
I bet heavily.
What is all in for you, though? Was that?
Oh, I got
$2,000 in your entire batch of chemo for the month?
It's worth a lot more than $2,000, by the way. Anyway, I bet heavily and I won, so it was a bittersweet victory. Bittersweet.
Let's talk movies. I feel like this is going to be a solid week for it's a solid topic, and I got a couple gems on here. Yeah. I can explain these movies away. Some good ones, some not so good ones, some ones you should definitely miss. Spirit of Flick Fashion is on its way. You know what? I'm going to kick off Flick Fashion. It's been a while since I've kicked it off, so let's
confess
do it.
The flicks you've seen this week.
The last week, Brian, I saw a few films, one of which was The Wild One, which is a 1953 movie directed by a Hungarian man named Laszlo Benedek. He also made Death of a Salesman. This is a movie that pretty much everyone has at least seen images of because it's iconic.
Oh, this is the Brando film.
It's a Marlon Brando's iconic jacket and hat. He's a motorcycle rider.
As parodied by Adam Carolla on the cover of his first book.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Huh?
And he's a gang leader. He plays Johnny Strabler. and an unrecognizable Lee Marvin plays the other gangster or biker
probably,
guy.
He's probably 25 years old.
Based on actual events that took place on the 4th of July, like in the 40s somewhere, up in Hollister, California. You know, this movie, it's on Instant right now for Amazon. I don't know about Netflix, because mm-hmm. Netflix was being very...
uncooperative?
Yeah, persnickety. Wouldn't let me get on.
It's good.
Yeah, so I don't know if it's streaming. I wouldn't be surprised if it was, but this movie might be a good one for commentary.
Ooh.
To today's standards, Brian... Let me just tell you this. 6.9 on IMDb and 80% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Mm.
And it is a piece of shit. Not good. Not a good movie. Just frustrating and awful to today's standards.
Could you see how it was great back then?
Not really.
Actually,
okay.
I don't even know if it's considered great. It's iconic, but it's not considered great.
Here's
this is
the
one where it's like, what are you rebelling against, right? And he's like, what do you got? Is that the one?
I don't know if that happened. I don't remember. I don't know. It's a forgettable movie. Here's the deal.
I think that's the one.
Based on a real life story, right?
Oh,
A biker gang cruises into to part of California. They change the name in the movie, and it's the early 50s, and they're being dicks. Like, they're causing accidents in this little town, and they're like essentially feeling up the women and being rude and breaking glasses and not paying for things. And all the people in this town are trying their best to like accommodate them. Not even out of being scared. Just like, you know what? People are different and I'll be cool with you. And they just continue to be dicks. There's no one likable in this movie. You just want to punch them all. And they're like the nerdy type of bad guys too. Like, what's up, daddy-o?
Yeah.
Oh, look at him. He's acting like an old fool, daddy-o. It was frustratingly bad. And I can't, you know, if movies were like that still, if they hadn't evolved, like, if I grew up, if I was a product of the 50s, I don't think I'd really like movies.
Would this go on your list of top five films, the classic films that don't hold up?
Yeah, it wasn't even on. You know, a few years ago, I saw the top 100 AFI movies, if you recall.
Yes.
A number of years ago now. And I did not see this one because it was not on that list. Mm-hmm. Rightfully so. But you know what? Maybe better than Rebel Without a Cause. God, I hate that one.
That movie sucks. Mm-hmm. That goes on my list. That goes on both of our lists.
All right, enough with the old classics. I'm not going to be talking about any more old classics for any time in the foreseeable future. Okay. Actually, a little spoiler alert, too, about today's episode, Brian.
Huh?
My oldest movie that I'll be talking about today on the top five worst date movies, think 2008.
Wow.
Yeah.
All recent.
All recent. Exceptionally recent. Because you know what? People don't go on
How about
dates.
This?
People don't go on dates and see classic movies. Or like
they
movies.
Rent them. They stream them.
Negative.
My most recent
you
movie?
You want to go on a date? You're not going to like be most, like, hey, I, you ever heard of this movie, E.T.? Let's
my most recent
it.
Movie? 2008.
I've never heard of it.
My most recent movie on the list.
I know. Hey, look at that.
From...
Are we going to have a ton of crossover?
It's not possible. I mean, we have one movie from 2008. Otherwise, no.
Mm-hmm. Well, how is that not possible? My most recent movie is 2008. Your oldest movie is 2008? My oldest movie is 2008.
Yeah, you're saying your oldest. My most recent. All my movies are from prior to 2008.
Okay. I got it backwards in my brain. Sorry. I'm not a smart person.
You're very SMRT.
That's actually my handle.
SMRT.
For the games that you play on the old iPhone there.
The old box.
I am so smart. I'm so smart.
Nice. Yeah.
I'm very clever.
Good.
Warm Bodies. Got dragged to see this.
Yeah. Did we gamble on this one?
I went to see it really with this show in mind. There's really nothing out there, as you well know, in the theaters right now. It's this month, January, that is, February, and March are the three slowest, worst months for movies.
Dead Zone.
And, you know, if Dead Zone was in theater right now, I'd go see it.
You'd go see it.
Because it's slim pickings out there. So I want to see Warm Bodies.
Have you seen all the Oscar movies?
Everything but Les Mis.
Me too. We should go see Les Mis.
I want to see Les Mis. Because I know what Les Mis is. You know what I mean?
I will not be surprised by anything in Les Mis.
I want to see it like, I'll go see the first half one day and then the second half the next day. Mm-hmm. I don't want to see the whole fucking thing at once. Yeah.
You're right. There's no chance we'll be surprised by anything in Les Mis.
Going in with this attitude, though, I'm hoping to skip out of there thinking, what a fantabulous movie. I'm hoping.
You know what I mean? Singing songs. Oh, it's not really kind of a skipping down the road.
Next week,
songs,
feature artist. All right, Warm Bodies.
Anne Hathaway.
I went to see this because Levine directed it. He's the guy that did 50-50, and before that, he did whatchamacallit. And he did The Wackness. And also The Kid, whose name I'm not going to say, is about a boy,
okay.
Who I'm a fan of. The Girl. Girl's very good in it. I don't know her name. I'm not saying it. But she reminded me a lot. Actually, my wife, when we left the theater, took the wife to it. The wife liked it, just to let you know. The wife
there
liked
you go.
It.
So that's a rare movie.
People who don't love movies, and my wife just hates art.
Sure.
Artistic movies or movies that tries to be art. Yeah. Like, she loves 500 Days of Summer.
Well, she likes to be entertained.
Yeah. So she liked it.
Nothing wrong with that.
She agreed with me, though, when I was saying throughout, this movie doesn't have enough going on for it to be a feature. It should have been a 30-minute short.
That's what she was saying, or you?
That's what I was saying, and she wholeheartedly agreed.
So shut the fuck up.
But she said that the girl reminded her of Kristen Stewart, and I agree.
Stop.
And my wife's exact quote was, she reminds me of Kristen Stewart, except she can act, so I hope that Kristen Stewart goes away now.
There you go.
Should have been a short. You don't have to go out and see this. It's getting rave reviews. It's like up in the 70 percentile on Rotten Tomato.
No.
Guys, settle down.
Spoiler alert for our gambling.
Essentially what it is it's a zombie who meets a girl and starts talking. And she buys it. And they hang out together and he saves her a few times. Rod Corddry. There are so many like cringing moments. It's like they can't talk and now they're talking. And then turns out that they're starting to talk again. Without getting anything away, it's just not. There's not enough there.
All right,
long, drawn out scenes of them just sitting on an airplane, but like with music behind it and montages. There's at least five montages.
All sizzle, no steak.
Okay. Finally, Brian, I'd like to talk a little about a little movie called Bug. So excited about this Bug. William Friedkin.
Okay,
he's an old man.
This is not a new film.
Well, it's 2006.
Yeah.
Streaming now on Netflix, if you'd like to check it out now. Not a movie for everyone. Okay. Unsettling, to say the least. It's Ashley Judd and Michael Shannon. Ashley Judd is very good in it. Michael Shannon is fucking phenomenal in it. If he's not overacting a few times, he is... Like, you know how people, like, I was just talking last week about Jim Jeffries talking about acting.
Michael
TV.
Shannon, by the way, the lead from Take Shelter, and he is one of those guys you recognize from a lot of movies.
Anyone who
he's not a household name, so
watches Boardwalk Empire knows
there you
him
go.
Well.
There
yeah.
You go.
Like, just last week, I was talking about acting, how it's fairly easy, and, you know, that people give acting too much credit. And Jim Jeffries was in here a couple weeks ago saying the same thing. Watching Michael Shannon's performance in this movie, Bug, is. Absolutely, there's no way I can memorize lines like that nor repeat them in that he's so goddamn fast and quick and articulate with all of his words. You really do believe he is an insane person, a total insane person. Okay, now let me tell you real quick. William Friedkin directed it. It's the guy that William Friedkin did French Connection way back in the day and The Exorcist, and most recently I was talking about him with Killer Joe, which I really, really liked, really enjoyed. Another dark, claustrophobic, small movie written by the same guy. Tracy Letts wrote Killer Joe Bug. As well as Bug. He made plays out of both of them. William Friedkin made feature-length movies out of both of Tracy Letts' plays. These two get together again anytime in the near future. I am going to go see it in the theater for sure. I miss both these in the theater. Both really interesting movies. Here's the problem with Bug. Okay, here's the story with Bug. Small little motel. Ashley Judd's like a bartender. Really nothing going on. Harry Connick Jr. is her ex-boyfriend who just got out of jail, and he's abusive, and she has no self-esteem. Enter Michael Shannon, who's a little bit off, but he's like, you know, this quiet stranger. He starts staying with her. There is some crack or crystal meth, and they are freebasing it, but it's very background.
Sure.
Very background.
It's not germane to their love.
The story, the movie seems like it's missing an entire act. Like, it goes from act one, where they're kind of living together, and they're having a couple problems to a few problems to holy shit, they're completely fucked. Now,
is it a short movie?
It's like just over an hour and a half.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you from my own experience with drugs and from working on the program Loveline, what the movie is about is their psychosis.
Codependency.
No, their psychosis and paranoia from speed, from narcotics, from methamphetamines, from amphetamines of any kind. They believe that people are after them.
Stimulants.
They believe that there's bugs in their skin. That's where the name Bug comes from. However, there's
no progression. There's no getting there.
It's just they're there. And they don't really point the finger at the drugs much. But all that being said, really small, very interesting and fun. It's a fun movie if you can handle watching people pull their teeth out.
Oh.
Literally. I mean, that's, you know, that kind of violence you're going to see in this movie. But the performances are really good. Entire movie takes place in a motel.
Wow.
Much like Tate.
Limited storytelling.
Very limited. But that motel room, by the end, has been transformed.
Wow.
And it is, it's fun.
All right, man.
It's a good time.
This is streaming?
I might make you watch it. Yes.
Ooh.
Yeah, I can't believe it's taken me, you know, what is it, like 7 years to see this
thing. Why did you not get around to seeing Bug earlier?
Yeah, it's not like I see everything
it's
Freakin'
a small
does.
Movie too,
yeah. But, you know, I'm starting to see everything Michael Shannon does, especially the stuff that he's in the forefront for, because I love him. I love him.
There you go. He's very good. Three movies that I saw. You assigned me a film, Anderson. Remember what it was?
Yes.
Yeah, King of the Hill.
King of the Hill.
King of the Hill from 1993, directed by Steven Soderbergh, Jesse Bradford. Who was only about 13 when he filmed the role. Adrian Brody. I almost said Adrian Grenier. Young Adrian Brody.
Like a 20-year-old. 19-year-old, yeah. Adrian Brody.
Jeroen Krabbe. A Dutch actor, is one of those guys. I recognize him from The Fugitive. He was the bad doctor.
He's the dad in the film, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of Christoph Waltz.
Yeah,
very similar to Christoph Waltz.
In that they're sort of Germanish. Karen Allen, Spalding Gray, Elizabeth McGovern, and a 14-year-old Katherine Heigl, who furthered through my eternal question, when you're watching a movie from 1993,
oh, no, here we go.
And you know that an actress who is the same age as you is going to you're watching the sapling that will someday blossom.
It's equivalent, Brian,
into
to
Katherine
you
Heigl.
Getting pictures of your wife when she's like 11 and beating off to them. No, the answer is no. It's wrong.
Well, it didn't actually beat off.
It's wrong, Brian.
That's a
enough of that. I feel like we're desecrating this film. It's a fantabulous movie. I love this fucking movie. Let's talk about it.
Steven Soderbergh's second film.
Third.
Oh, that was his second film.
Sex, Lies, and Videotape. Then he did Kafka, and then this.
Oh, okay. Well, I
Kafka,
have some bad information.
Sex, Lies, and Videotape. Everyone wanted to marry him and give them the studio's keys, and then he made Kafka, and they're like, ooh. And this is kind of the movie when he made King of the Hill. The reception was so great that it kind of saved his career. Maybe if this movie was a swing and a miss as well, he might not be making movies today.
Well, this movie was a catastrophic failure financially. It got good reviews, I assume, because it was a good movie. But
catastrophic.
It cost $8 million and it made $1.2
million. It still makes
a couple bucks
here and
there. Pretty bad. Yeah. Pretty bad. That said, liked it very much. It's set in 1933 in the midst of the Great Depression and parts of the... There wasn't a lot of joy in the movie. The movie was
not a lot of
depressing.
Joy, but you know, he does get over the hump a number of times. You're rooting for this kid, root for very few characters in movies these days.
Yeah, I wouldn't call it a great movie, but
his strength is a joy in itself. God, yeah. That was gay. That was really gay. I admit.
Get that drop.
But it's true.
I can see why it made your list of top five. It was your number one.
It was my number one, and you know what? I went back and watched it this week. The first time since it came out in 93, right. I saw this fucking thing in the theaters.
Nice.
I was one of the people that gave a part of the $1 million.
Yeah, $1.2 million.
And I remember loving it then, and I haven't really seen it or thought about it a whole lot. You know, every now and again I'll think about it, but I haven't really touched on it much.
Right.
And I went back, and you know, the movie itself is the best of my five movies. Even for me, I like it more than E.T. from that I did last week.
Wow.
But his performance was great, but there were some of those kids on my list last week might have been better performance-wise than he
maybe,
was.
Maybe, but it was very, very good. His performance was very, very good. The movie's maybe a little short on plot. It was kind of a lot of vignettes. It was adapted from a novel. That said...
There's a lot of... the whole thing. It was all about him trying to survive. I mean, you know...
Yeah, I mean, if you were to say, what's the story of the film? I would say... kid has a shitty life in the Great Depression, and he tries.
A kid is alone in the Great Depression.
Yeah, struggles to survive.
Struggles to survive.
Yeah, it's a above average movie, but the performance
above average is that what you're saying? It's fucking great.
It's fucking great.
I think it's fucking great. Yes.
Well, you said there were movies on it that you liked better. On
kids'
your list.
Performances.
Oh no, you said more. The performances you liked better. Yeah,
this is one of the great forgotten movies, and when I watched it again, like it teared me up for sure because of necessarily what was going on in the movie, just because I it's like Barton Fink. Like, I am in that era. I am in that space. I'm completely transported back to 1933 in St. Louis. And it felt so subtle. It felt like European almost. It did not feel like an American movie, but it was an American movie. Like, none of his movies feel Soderbergh-ish. Well, they didn't used to back then. He used to make a different movie every time. But I think when I saw it back then, and I didn't know the name Steven Soderbergh, other than Sex Lies, I'm sure that I thought that he was a foreign director. It feels like it was made by a foreigner, like a European.
Yes, it captures the time and era very well. I give it about a solid B. I liked it. I didn't love it, but...
I love this movie.
Yeah, it's good. It's a good movie. It's a solid B.
Sorry.
And it is streaming, by the way, so you can check it out if you're compelled. In my quest to see all of the Oscar movies this year, I saw Frankenweenie. Frankenweenie had nominated for... Best Animated Feature. It came out in October of last year, directed by Tim Burton, written, I didn't realize this, by John August, who wrote
How
our...
How did you not realize? Your boyfriend wrote it.
I know, John August, my bald boyfriend, who wrote The Nines, wrote this film, and it is a, I guess it's an, Tim Burton made a short movie called Frankenweenie a long, long time ago, and this is sort of a feature-length kids' version. This is a scant 87 minutes.
Scant.
It's stop-motion animation. It's black and white, sort of an homage to, well, not even homage, a lot of plays on the classic horror films of the past. It's a fun movie. It's fine, nothing spectacular. I feel like if another director made the same movie, you'd probably say he was trying to be too much like Tim Burton. It's a very Tim Burton movie. You saw this, yes?
No, I have not seen Frankenweenie. No. I don't really have any desire to
it's
see
not,
it. It
it's
looks
not,
like
it's
more
not great.
Of the same.
It's good. It's fine. It's exactly more of the same. You're right. It's fine.
It's frustrating when you see, like, I watched Edward Scissorhands not too long ago, probably about a month or two ago, and it's so good. It's so great. And and then you think about, you just flash forward to, like, Planet of the Apes, and it's just like, you know, I know I'm wasted potential. I know that I don't do much with my life, but, you know, same can be said about Tim Burton. Just because he continues to make movies, he's not progressing. He's not developing into anything else. It's just more of the same stripey fucking bullshit.
You think
I'm obsessed with death.
You think Tim Burton is a one-trick pony who does that one trick very
absolutely.
Well?
Absolutely. And I don't even know if he does it well anymore. It's because it's
he
so cliche.
You know what I'm saying? He has done it well.
I saw the trailers for Frankenweenie, and I'm like, I don't have any interest in seeing this.
I'm trying to think of Tim
Plus, the rotten dog kind of bothers me, to be honest.
Yeah, it was a little creepy looking.
Yeah.
What about, it kept falling apart. What about, what do you think Burton's rangiest movies are? Like his movies that are furthest apart in quality?
He doesn't have any.
He doesn't?
Big Fish, you know what? Yeah, that's his Forrest Gump.
I fucking love that movie. Anyway, Frankenweenie, less said the better. It's fine. It's nothing spectacular. I did see a good documentary, which I enjoyed very much. It was on the documentary channel, and I recorded it, and I'm sure you can get it on Netflix, too. But have you ever seen Best Worst Movie?
Yes, I flickfested on this here goddamn show.
Well, how long ago? I don't know. I'm
not paying attention.
It's
about the Leprechaun fucking movie, right?
It is about Troll, too. Yeah, it's about the make. It's a documentary about the making of Troll 2. No. It's about the cultural impact of Troll 2. This is years and years after the fact. Directed by Michael Stevenson, who is actually an actor in Troll 2. Troll 2, yes, he was the kid in Troll 2. Troll 2 is known as... I've said Troll 2 several times.
What do you say?
It is known as the worst movie ever made. Sort of colloquially embraced, ironically,
it's like
in a cult status. Yes, as the worst movie ever made. 0% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Zero.
This documentary is really a lot of fun. I enjoyed it very much. I describe it as... American Movie meets Winnebago Man with sort of a dash of Strictly background in there. There's
American
also,
Movie is in the documentary American Movie. That's what you made it sound like.
It's a combination of the documentaries American Movie and Winnebago Man.
Coven.
And, yes, there are also touches of Anvil, the sort of the phenomenon that gets cult status, ironically, after the fact. Overnight, the blowhardy director, and also Catfish. I won't ruin it for everyone, but there's a great scene in the middle that sort of takes a bizarre left turn. The movie almost jumps the rails completely, but it's just sort of bizarre, like, what the fuck was that? Then it gets right back on track and goes back to the whole Troll 2, plot. But, yeah, there's a great scene in the middle that's sort of catfishy.
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
Nah.
When they tracked down the woman who was the star of the movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was kind of odd.
That was very odd. Strange. It was extremely odd.
She's odd.
And then it went right back to the rest of the movie. Anyhow.
Well, it's because that's how it actually happened. Like, she was hoping.
Yeah.
They were hoping she'd be more of a part of it, but not so much.
Not so much.
Odd one.
Anyway. Yeah.
Have you ever seen Troll 2? No, of course not.
Of course not.
Nor have I.
No, I don't expect
it. Makes you want to kind of see it, though.
It was originally an Italian film called Goblins. And they brought it to America and were like, well, let's just call it Troll 2.
Yeah, the best part is that Troll 2 is not a sequel.
Not a sequel.
Nothing
to do with the original. There are no trolls. There are no trolls. There's goblins who want to turn people into vegetarian smoothies.
Before we move on, a little update on Five Broken Cameras. You and I have both seen this. It's up for best documentary this year.
I made you see it, right?
Yes, or no, we've both seen it. Yeah. I flicked past it last week. Must be the chemo.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
I'm
wondering why you gave me an update.
Looking for controversy.
Okay.
Nor am I looking to be slashed or murdered by any Palestinian people.
Okay. Wait, we've established that's not your goal.
It's not my goal here. However, I feel like it's important to bring up and discuss momentarily The fact that last week I was talking about, I think it was just last week, about how the movie felt phony to me and didn't feel like a real documentary. And it felt like a found footage mockumentary, if anything. And there was plenty of things that I cited, such as the olive tree burning.
I disagreed vehemently and stuck up to the Palestinian people.
Since then, a listener, whose name I will not say because I don't name names here on the show, Brian, but he sent me a little piece.
Brian.
I said names. I don't know.
It's my name.
It's not really a name. It's more of a title. Okay. It's called Pollywood. I think you can probably find it on the YouTube out there. Okay. It opens up with a 60 Minutes piece that they're doing on the Palestinian-Israeli conflict. And about 2 minutes into it, it starts having new voiceover. And it's somebody, I can only assume a Palestinian or somebody, you know. I'm not trying to be political here. Okay. It's just when you're, when you bring politics and movies and they cross and, you know, they're in the both, come into my realm of film going, especially one of the best five documentaries made of the year. It's going to be discussed a bit here.
Okay.
The guy breaks it down and he starts breaking down. Now, it was 15 minutes on YouTube. I didn't have time to watch all that, Brian.
Sure,
I watched the first 7 minutes.
That's a little much, yeah.
Fascinating, though, because this footage on the 60 Minutes piece that they reported as actual fact, much better than any of the violence or craziness you're going to see in Five Broken Cameras. And they're breaking it down and they're showing the bullshit that is totally staged and fake, but 60 Minutes was duped in believing that it was real. So this kind of shit happens all the time.
Interesting.
Apparently. Allegedly, I don't know. Like one of the main things was a guy gets shot. Apparently shot. One of the Palestinians gets shot from like over the wall, and he falls to the ground. An ambulance pulls up. 1.5 seconds. It's just bam there,
right,
and then
there.
They have another camera angle where they're dragging him away from the ambulance, and then he gets up. Oh, there's just weird shit going on with that movie.
It's fishy.
I don't think it's gonna win, but now I'm rooting for it because I want it to win, and I want it to be kind of looked into a little bit more. I'm not saying it's fake for sure, but I'm saying if I had like a $100 bill and I had to put it on fake or not fake right now, it's going on the fake bet.
Yeah,
do not pass real.
That's funny. That's an interesting question. Let's talk about that real quick, because documentaries now are just bleeding a little more and more into the world of...
More and more, like more than ever.
Yeah, feature films.
And I think it's thanks to Michael Falk. I mean, Michael Moore.
He's a big, big reason why. I totally agree with you. And do you... Okay, I'll just say how I feel. When I watch a documentary, I'm not so much concerned with, is this 100% fact? This is obviously the filmmaker's point of view and what he's trying to say or she's trying to say. I guess I judge the movie on whether I'm moved or not, you know, whether the movie elicits a reaction to me. I'm not concerned with
whether
but
it's... if you do it that way though, Brad, that just like means that you have such a so much faith in the way that you view the world and your own opinion about things that it's like the movie making of it doesn't even come into play. It's just like, well, you know, I don't really care about that subject, so fuck it, it's not a good movie. And that's...
No, but I'm agreeing with you though. I'm saying that like I'm more concerned with the movie making part of it than I am with the factual.
But you're
part
saying
of
you
it.
Have to be moved by. I see. I guess.
No,
yeah.
No, I judge whether or not it's good by like how my reaction to it is what I'm saying, rather than like, oh, well, that was interesting. I'm going to go home and fact check it, and if the facts turn up not to be true, I'm not going to like this movie.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
This is a way to think about documentaries, I guess. Wow, Logan cutting me. I guess we don't. That's.
I like it when Logan takes charge.
I guess we're on that discussion.
Well, there wasn't really much to discuss.
I thought I was interested in your point of view, but I guess
I don't quite understand the question. I was actually reading about another movie called Bug.
You son of a bitch.
A 1975 movie called Bug.
God forbid we talk about something serious.
A bug
here.
Movie. It's a bug movie that came out in 1975. I never heard about it until just recently doing my research on the other Bug. It's a movie about mutant cockroaches, Brian, that escape from the Earth's innards after an earthquake, and they have the ability to start fire.
Wow.
Cockroaches.
Wait,
cockroaches.
Is it a documentary?
Not a documentary, no.
This could be best worst movie, too.
Hey, when we come back after the break, Brian and I are going to have a serious discussion about documentaries and where they're going and what they do.
False! Top 5 worst date movies next. Valentine's Day coming up, Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Just enough time left to get some, maybe a last-minute gift for your sweetie pie. For your loved one, for your special person, or for yourself if you're in the giving mood.
I'm going to start doing that. Fuck it. Valentine's Day's for me.
Yeah, it is. Someone reminded me because I was looking at the list of stuff people bought on Amazon this week through Amazon, AndersonandBrian.com, and someone got a necklace, and I was like, no music.
You shouldn't be able to hear that.
I do.
Take it out of three.
I do.
So we can hear it.
Take it off.
He's such a little boy.
It bothers me so much. Someone got a necklace. It reminded me and said, hey, I got to put that on the list. Someone got a Kindle Fire. How much money do you think Amazon makes off Kindle-related accessories? Probably a fucking shitload.
I'm not in that business.
Someone got a Nintendo Wii U console. Someone got a PS3 console.
Do you think if I got myself a... I know it's cliche, but if I got myself a happy ending from a local massage parlor and said, honey, you can have a day off, would that be wrong? I mean, would she be really upset? I mean, there is an argument. I know she'd be initially upset, but it's like, honey, you don't have to...
If you said no thanks to the happy ending?
Like she doesn't have to do anything because I'm going to the parlor. You know what
I mean?
Oh,
you said to your honey.
Her the day off, yeah.
Oh,
like if she washed my car every day. You don't have to wash the car today. I got a voucher for myself.
If she polished your car, you know what?
Yeah, if she polished. You got it.
I could see the right kind of girl being appreciative.
Right kind of lady.
You hear that, ladies?
I don't know if I'm married.
Be appreciative. Someone got an Intel Core processor. Say that five times real fast. Someone got a Canon digital SLR camera.
Oh,
a Simpsons Homer in Space men's T-shirt. I don't see why it has to be men's. Oh, someone got a shitload of Preparation H medicated wipes.
Brian.
144 to be specific.
To borrow a phrase from the App Disaster, we're not that show.
What's that someone got?
We're not that show.
Yes, a home theater receiver. Roku. Hey, enjoy that Roku. Someone got a Vizio LED TV. Mm-hmm. Boop, boop. Mm-hmm. Oh, Almond Joy's got nuts. Mounds don't. Someone got an Almond Joy, a pack of six.
What? Why would you say that?
I want to sing the song. Almond Joy's got nuts. Mounds don't.
I almost see why some people like you when you do things like that. I can almost see it.
I assume this is something involving the penis. It's called California Exotic Novelties Max Results Pump.
Who's Max?
Max is getting max results if he's using that thing.
Terrible.
Mm-hmm. Go. Someone I've always wanted one of these.
When your song is done, you're done, buddy.
Sorry, buddy. Someone got one of these, and I always wanted one. The thing you crush your aluminum can through.
Oh, I need one! I've been going to places, and they always tell me, you know, I don't have it.
Yeah, someone got that.
You can get that on Amazon?
I guess so. It's called The Crusher. There you go. So we got a purple hair dye, and of course, what would a week be without astronaut ice cream chocolate chip flavor this time? Purple pube, like a merkin?
I don't know. A merkin could be purple, Brian.
That's right.
Is it Merkin?
Merkin.
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 Remember how big that was, like, in the late 90s? Merkin? Do you know what a Merkin is? Do you? Do you? It's a toupee for your crotch. Can you believe it? All right. Here are the movies.
Movie time.
Here are the movies! You guys weren't buying many good movies.
Come on, Bice. Read the movies.
Wait. All right. Almost Famous. Anchorman.
These are great movies.
Yeah.
Someone's buying and enjoying
Die
movies.
Hard. I mean, yeah.
Through AndersonBryan.com.
Thank you. Die Hard. Fargo. Okay. Goodfellas. Look at that. Hell yes. Irreversible. Hell yes. Little Shop of Horrors spot.
You fluctuate wildly. You fluctuate wildly.
Looper's so good. Murder in the First. Goddamn right.
Emotions.
Murder in the First. The greatest Kevin Bacon movie ever made.
Wow.
What Flew Over the Cougar's Nest. Paranorman, pretty good.
Paranorman, okay.
Seven Psychopaths, almost one of my favorites of the year. But it kind of tried to outdo itself by the end. Step Brothers, great the second, third time. You'll enjoy it now that you own it. Ted's all right. I'm not going to say The Departed. I'm not going to say Lord of the Rings, the motion picture trilogy.
No.
You have like fucking 3 months of your life to give away. The Prestige, hell, the Squid and the Whale. Whoa. Smart move.
Oh my God.
Really good move, mind the Squid and the Whale. God, I love that fucking movie.
I can't see why some people find you abrasive.
The Ultimate Matrix Collection? Eh. And I'm definitely not going to say this is fucking Spinal Tap.
No, and you're not going to scream it either.
Well, look!
Okay. Thank you guys for
clicking
through.
Hey, guys, honestly, thank you very much. I know you're on the other side. You got choices out there, and thanks for choosing us, because without it, we don't do this fucking show, right?
Yeah, we keep food on Logan's plate.
It's true.
We appreciate it, and thanks for the clicks, you guys. Now back to the show. Hi, I'm Harriet Tubman. That's right, Harriet Tubman from the Underground Railroad, and you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonBryan.com. Yeah. Welcome back.
Turn that shit up.
Some much needed flavor, Anderson, or as the kids say, flavor.
Don't do that.
This week,
that's racist.
Is it really?
It's exceptionally racist.
I didn't say how.
This is a crunchy groove.
I didn't say the black kids say flavor.
You know what
the kids say flavor.
It's a tight jam.
So oh, yeah?
Turn the shit up. You know, what we're doing here in the program this week is top five worst date movies. But you know what? This is some pretty good date music. You throw this on, You're in that mood?
You can do a lot worse.
Got a little rhythm going?
Thanks, DJ.
It's bang time. Bang time is on time.
You want to know the name of the, you want to know the name of the artist?
I would love to know the name of the artist.
DJ T-Rock and Squashy Nice.
That's right, Bri-Bri. A little DJ T-Rock and Squashy Nice. Not to be confused with Squishy Nice, which is just if I say the name wrong. Turn that shit up. It's good shit.
You know these assholes personally?
Wow, I don't call them. I know the one guy. I know T-Rock, and he's actually at my wedding. You met him. A very talented guy, and I like his music very much, and I would like to hear some more of it. Why don't we just play this for the rest of the episode, and we'll just post what our top five. Are you up to doing a little writing? We can just post it on our website?
Yeah, sure. Just copy and paste for me.
Play it out.
Anyhow. DJ T-Rock.
Play it out.
DJ T-Rock. I'm going to keep playing it, but I'm going to talk over it. I'm going to give them credit. DJ T-Rock and Squashy Nice. The album's called Getting Through. They're from Atlanta, GA, and check them out.
And from Los Angeles, they're one of these bicultural guys, bands. Where, in fact, Postal Service, that band who I love so much. They do all their music. They send it back and forth through emails, and they're rarely in the same room, Brian. But here's something interesting about T-Rock is they're signed over New Zealand, huge in New Zealand,
really
big in New Zealand.
Wow.
Yeah,
congratulations, DJ.
But they're
T-Rock.
American. God.
Check them out, AndersonBryan.com is where you go for the information on them.
They've been making music for a while.
Check them out. Never forget
that. Let's do some fucking, you're not going to get your bang on if you watch these movies. I got a little something for everybody, too. I got a little something for the ladies. I got a little something for, we'll get to that when we get to that.
I have some movies here I think you like. In fact, I have some movies here I know for a fact you like.
I can imagine. You know what? This is very similar to Disturbing movies, which we did years ago now.
There's some bleed over.
And I thought I'd start it off with just doing a little recap of my top five most disturbing movies.
Oh, smart. I wish I would have done that.
Because this is not, there's not going to be any crossover from my top five most disturbing movies, which I still hear about that episode. One of the all-time favorites amongst the listeners, Brian.
It's true.
The top five most disturbing movies. And that was a solid list. And I don't know if this list has moved or has changed much since we did it.
Really?
Like two, three years ago. Number five for me was Saw, The 120 Days of Sodom. Mm. Nothing like watching underage naked kids eating poop and having their tongues cut out.
Okay.
That'll not put you in the sexy
mood. That'll cause an infection.
Antichrist. Sure, it starts off with a little penetration there with Willem Dafoe banging his then wife and maybe still married. I don't know. Beautiful scene, black and white. However, it ends, the opening scene ends with a child falling out the window, and then you see nothing but guttural, disgusting, awful, clit-ripping, natural things in the earth that you'd never want to see before or after. And I will never forget Chaos Reigns.
Do you think this is the first time
Reigns.
In podcast history the term clit-ripping has been used?
I doubt it. A lot of horrible podcasts.
Logan Research.
Followed up by Martyrs. Martyrs. I had you watch Martyrs not too long ago, Brad.
Yeah,
Brian.
And,
is it only one woman who has her entire epidermis removed, or is there other multiple?
No, there's one flaying.
A lot of goop.
Not flaying. Goop. Flaying.
One of the hardest things you'll ever see. And of course, number two for me was a Serbian film. If you see the unrated version, you will actually see a newborn child, like freshly out of the womb, being. You don't see the actual penetration. I mean, they didn't get crazy, probably.
That'd be too much.
But you see the child's grimace. You see the newborn child's grimace as he is penetrated by a large, large bald man. One of the most horrific things I've ever seen in any movie.
Sure.
And of course, number one still holds the number one title in so many different categories for me, and that is Irreversible. Now streaming on Fuckflix. Irreversible.
Oh, lucky
if you'd
everyone.
Like to ruin your day, your week, maybe your month, and forever change your brain, check out that Irreversible. Gaspar, no, you are satanic. Irreversible. Available in a living room. At your house.
So five of these five films will not make an appearance on your list.
No, but they are all definitely turn-offs. You don't want to put these on for sex time.
If you had to watch one on Valentine's Day with your date, if you had to watch one of these.
I'm looking at the list. You know what? Antichrist, because at least there's a nice, pretty scene to begin with. And hopefully you get to sexy time and you forget the movie's on in the background.
Okay.
And you don't see the clitoral ripping. It's actually more chopping.
Okay.
It's up close.
It's too much.
Roger Ebert's... it was Lars von Trier that made Antichrist, and Roger Ebert, I believe it was Roger Ebert, who his critique included a line that went along the lines of, this is what it's like to watch a director lose his mind. This Lars von Trier is no longer a well man. He is mentally ill, and he's making movies. And like he was talking about how he felt bad for Willem Dafoe and his wife for making the movie.
Sure. That's his legacy.
Antichrist. Okay, so all that being said.
Five new films from Anderson.
Mm-hmm. But tonight, not quite as hardcore, but definitely movies that will make you dry and limp.
Okay, let me start off, because you just did a whole soliloquy there, so let me start off.
It's true.
Number five for me is a three-way tie.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I know. This is the only time I'm going to do this, but three films involving Sean Penn in some way. The early part of the decade, Anderson, the early part of the 2000s, from 2001, 2003, must have been a bleak time for Sean Penn, because he directed The Pledge in 2001.
I'm good.
He also starred in Mystic River,
2003. And is that my daughter?
And
in there?
21 Grams in 2003. Those are three films involving Sean Penn in some way, three extraordinarily depressing films.
You know what, though? No, if you watch them, if you have three TVs set up simultaneously, mm-hmm. it's one of the funniest things you'll ever see.
Oh, really?
That's the joke.
You think it'll be hilarious?
No, it really is. It's like they line up like Pink Floyd's The Wall and Alice in
Wonderland. Dark Side of the Moon. Yeah, yeah, interesting. Yeah. I often get these three films confused. I'm like, oh, is that the super depressing one with Sean Penn, or is that the other super depressing one with Sean Penn? Or is that the super depressing one directed by Sean Penn? Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is...
The Pledge is by far the least crafted movie, you know what I mean? Just like weird, long scenes that don't really pan out.
Mystic River is directed by Clint Eastwood. And the other one, 21 Grams, is by Alejandro González Iñárritu.
And The Pledge is with Jack Nicholson, Iñárritu. Right?
Yeah, with Jack Nicholson.
Yeah.
Correct.
He also did The Crossing Guard.
Fuck a duck.
Crossing Guard could be in there as well.
Yeah, but these are three that I closely associate with each other. I would love to get someone from, go back in time, bring someone back from 1981, make them watch these movies and go, see that? That's Spicoli. That's what happened to Spicoli.
Oh, yeah, isn't that
blow
cool?
Their fucking
I love
mind.
That idea.
I also get confused because two of these movies feature Benicio del Toro.
Uh-huh.
And he's doing horrible things in the film, so I'm confused about which one's which. But save yourself some confusion, save yourself some heartache. Do not see 21 Grams, Mystic River, or The Pledge on a date, especially on Valentine's Day.
We should do commentary on The Wild One. I think it'd be
fun. Wild One? Why? Yeah. I've never seen it. Should I see it first?
I don't know if it's streaming on Fuckflix, because Fuckflix is down, because Fuckflix
No, it's not.
Failed.
I just watched the movie tonight.
I don't know, an hour ago it was down. I would like to watch an old black and white with you and make fun of it, because it's so ridiculous.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would do that.
Hey, you think if 21 Grams comes out this year, it's up for Best Picture?
Absolutely not. This is a good year for movies.
I think it came up. I think it comes up. If Amour is fucking up, I think it's up. Oh, by the way, French Stewart. I don't name names, but French Stewart. I don't think it's the French Stewart.
I was going to say, are you listening?
The French Stewart is writing
if you're emails. Listening, French.
Got an email from a listener named French Stewart. I appreciate the email and went on and on, but they're explaining to me why I don't understand them more and why I missed the point. I get the point. Yes, I am in that fucking room. I get it. Michael Haneke, director of Amour, writer of Amour, is fantastic at making you feel like you're
right there with
the subject.
Emotion.
Well aware of that. I don't want to be a part of that.
I agree. It's an unpleasant movie. So maybe it achieves its goals, but I don't want to see it again.
French Stewart also brought up the, I'm only using his name because obviously it's not his real name, or hers. But also brought up the interesting point that it was not well translated. It's a French film.
Oh, really?
And apparently some of the things that he was saying were very clever, poetic, and funny at times. The old
right.
man in
this
the movie.
It sounds better in the original.
And we just got the dry
loses
English
something in the translation.
Versions, yes. Number five.
Question for
me.
Question for you. Percentage chance between 1 and 100 that was actually the actor French Stewart who emailed you.
1.
Okay, 1%.
Because the English was very broken, and they started off with, English is not my first language.
That's just reason to throw you off the scent.
Chance,
he just said that to throw you off the scent.
Percentage 1 to 100, chances of me being able to pick French Stewart out of a lineup.
You don't think he could?
I'm asking your opinion.
Oh, 50-50.
I'd say 37.
Wow, that's a shockingly 37. Specific number.
Yeah. You put him in there with the guy from the page from 30 Rock, I'm going to be completely confused.
And you put him in there with the guy from, what's his name? Sean Hayes, and you're lost.
I don't know who Sean is.
They're confused. Easily confused.
Number five for me, Brian. Okay, now this one, once again, I went with very, very recent movies because I'm thinking, you know, I started my research and I was looking and I came up with some classics, some good ones, some, you know, when I say classics, I'm like pulling back from the 80s. But I'm thinking, they don't really hold a candle to the kind of fucked up movies that people seem to be making today. I mean, now is the day of the small horror slash drama slash, you know, in between, not just full slasher exploitation movie, but a little something else in there. And there's a lot more of those than ever before. And also, like I said before, if you're going to be on a date and you're going to be at home watching movies, chances are you're going to be watching something recent. So
it's true.
My first one, number five, it's a 2009 movie. Now, the title could throw you. It's called The Loved Ones.
Okay.
Now, sure, the poster, as I'll show you, has a girl holding a holding a drill towards the camera. God damn.
God damn, what'd you do?
See that? So she's holding. She looks Asian. She's not. It's not a great artwork for the
poster.
Cover. It looks like it's some kind of one of these Asian or Korean Category 3 movies. It
looks like a fetish film.
But here's the storyline. It's a high school movie. Kids in high school, and there's a nice young kid who. Scruffy, longer hair, probably a good-looking boy. I can't tell with guys. Can't tell, Brad. I wish I could tell. Right. I could know my competition, but I can't tell if guy's good-looking or not. I can tell if he's Brad Pitt, Johnny Depp.
But that's an obvious extreme.
I might have told
cases.
You this before. I had a Depeche Mode poster in my room. I thought they were all like attractive. I would have liked to look like them. My mom walks in. She's like, those are the most hideous men I've ever seen. I'm like, really? Anyways, I think this kid's probably attractive. He's cast in the movie.
He's in movies.
And this weird, strange girl in high school. I sound like French Stewart all of a sudden. Yeah. In this high school, comes up and asks him to go to the dance. And he says, oh, I'm sorry. I have a girlfriend. I'm going to the dance already. That's a shame. There's a lot more to the story. But cut to the chase. Her dad kidnaps a kid, takes him back to his house where she is. The girl that asked him to dance, and the dad is putting together it takes place in Australia, I should also tell you. So, you know, a bunch of Aussies.
Sure, it's pretty rough.
I know we got some Aussie listeners. You know, guys know what I'm talking about.
She's kind of Kiwi.
You guys know what I'm talking about. Flash forward, horrible, horrible torture scenes occur to this young man while he's at a faux dance that the dad is throwing for his daughter, who he absolutely loves.
Oh.
One of these dads, you know, just the dad and the daughter, just the two of them living in the house. I knew a girl growing up like this who had a dad. I think the dad, I might be wrong, I hope I am, but I think the dad took her to her own prom.
That's sweet.
And they had Disney painted all over the house. Oh. I remember that well. But one of those relationships. I'm not saying that they were banging, but the dad would do anything. She was in charge. She told the dad what to do. She said, Dad, go kidnap this boy who I like, I have a crush on. Bring him back to the house.
This is the girl you knew?
No, I'm back in the movie now, Brad. Keep up, buddy. Keep up with the ADD. Anyways.
I wrote a whole chapter today about ADD.
Awful torture. And I normally don't talk about movies. Like in detail, but I just want to explain one little scene here, what you might get into. He has to pee. The kid's tied up in a chair. He has to pee. And she says, if you don't pee in 10 seconds, I'm nailing your penis to the chair you sit
in. Oh, no.
And she has a nail and a hammer. And you got to deal with that kind of shit. And I can only imagine that the original script, it was probably cum. You know what I mean? But they might have knocked it down to pee. You know, she was probably jacking him. God, this is awful and filthy. I'm sorry. I apologize, people. But that's probably what the original scene, at least the original thought process for the sick fuck that wrote this. All that being said, kind of a fun movie. The Loved Ones.
That said, enjoy.
You got to send away for it, though.
I'll do a better job of explaining, I think, why these movies are not good for date night.
Excuse me.
Yeah?
What did you just say? Could you please repeat what you just said?
I will try and do a better job explaining why these
better movies... Better than...
The one I did for number five.
I took that as a personal attack.
No, you did a great job.
I was
exactly
very
why
hurt.
No, you did a great job. You've raised the bar. I must now meet you.
Okay. I took it the exact opposite.
Number four is a good movie. Number four is a good movie. It's a documentary. Anderson likes it.
Oh, we're doing docs.
Yeah, I did a doc. Anderson likes this one, and it's a combination of disturbing material, disturbing images, and maybe a little bit dated. I'm not saying it's outdated. I'm just saying it's not up to snuff of the quality, maybe, of filmmaking.
About snuff?
There are dead kids.
Paradise Lost!
From 1996. So good! Paradise Lost from 1996. The story of the West Memphis Three.
This sounds terrible, but I could bang to this movie.
Oh, stop it.
It's that good, Brian.
All Brian had to say was there's dead kids and you knew it was Paradise Lost.
It's very few. I still don't understand how they show the dead kids in this movie.
It's directed by Joe Berlinger and Bruce Sinofsky.
Weird.
It is about the murder of three young boys in West Memphis, Arkansas, and the ensuing arrest and trials of Damien Echols, Jesse Miss Kelly, and Jason Baldwin, better known as the West Memphis Three. Unless your idea, Anderson, of a good date movie involves dead children with mutilated genitalia.
That's one small part of it.
Yeah, very small, if you know what I mean. Maybe save this one for a night home alone.
What if she's attracted to Damien Echols types?
The Metallica music doesn't exactly help set a romantic mood either.
Depends on who you're dating.
It's a good movie.
It's a great movie. I love this movie.
It's worth seeing.
I wonder what it would be like if I was familiar with the case and I went back and saw that. I don't think it has the impact.
Absolutely, it doesn't. And it's very raw. The footage is very grainy.
Going back to... No, there's no problem with that. It's deep. For a documentary, I think that the quality is there. But going back to what you're talking about, and I just completely blew by you because I was reading about the 1975 Bug Mutant movie.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. You were saying that nowadays you don't really care about facts when it comes to documentaries, as long as it moves you with the trickery that is filmmaking.
Well, you distilled what I said into a cliche untruth. But no, what I'm saying is I care less about facts than I do about the impact the movie has on me.
Mm. It's dangerous.
It is, but as documentaries get now further and further away from here's a factual telling of this story and into here's the story I want to tell, like, I'm sure any number of documentaries made by the other opposing viewpoint would be very different movies. That's because they're showing a point of view.
That's a great documentary.
What?
I'm throwing this out there. I'm always coming up with ideas. You guys can have these. Somebody should make this. There's a lot of directing teams out there now. Two directors, opposing views.
Opposite side of the same story.
They each get scene by scene by scene, back and forth, back and forth. Yeah. You and I could do that.
Yeah, we could.
On what makes a good movie.
Ooh. I wouldn't want to humiliate you like that. Anyway, Paradise Lost, 1996. Good movie, just not good for a date night.
Number four for me, 2011, Brian. Not going back far at all.
No, you're not.
2011. This is a movie that stars a naked Fassbender. Michael Fassbender. Mm. And Carey Mulligan is also nude.
Sounds great to me.
Yeah.
Two good-looking naked people.
Here's the disappointing part. Love, love, love Carey Mulligan. I'll see anything she's in. She's as cute as a button. Somehow, Steve McQueen, director of Shame, 2011 Shame, made her unattractive as she stood naked in that shower, Brad. I don't know how. She looked white and pasty. And I'm not one to say a girl looks pudgy, especially girls that aren't pudgy. But there's something very Play-Doh-y about her body in this movie.
She's soft.
With lots of moles, which is fine. I've dated girls and love girls that have moles. But there's something very unattractive. Whatever, I'm going down a road. I didn't even need to go down. The point is, Shame, first 20 minutes of it, if you're fast to the punch and you're in a new relationship and you throw this thing on and you don't really have respect for quality cinema and you just start doing your thing on the couch there, forget about the movie, you might get away with it. Because maybe, Michael Fassbender, he's banging in the beginning. There's a lot of banging going on. If you continue to watch, though, you realize that you're watching the Requiem for a Dream of sex addiction movies.
Oh, no.
And by the end, you are afraid to touch yourself, to pee.
Wow.
Because it's just one man's deep, deep, dark-rooted sickness that is surrounded and sex is at the center. Okay.
I ran across this on HBO and I wasn't going to watch it, but
shouldn't.
I saw a scene.
You shouldn't. A lot of people should.
A single scene of Carey Mulligan singing New York, New York, a cappella, unbroken, about 2.5 minutes of her singing very slowly. And I was like, wow, is this the whole movie?
Mm. That's actually one of the nicer scenes in the movie.
I didn't doubt that it was a nice scene. I was like, wow, this is... Not moving at a brisk pace.
Not a brisk pace and not an easy watch at all. However, this Steve McQueen is his name. Ballsy to keep that name. Ballsy when you're a black man from England.
Yeah.
And your name is Steve McQueen.
Is that his real name?
Yeah, that's his name. Birth name, Brian.
Wow.
I've said it before on this program. He also did Hunger, also with Fassbender back in the day. He did that. That was probably 6-7 years ago. Yep. Hunger, which is a great movie. I definitely recommend that for people who have a stomach for violence and some graphic scenes. It's a prison movie, Brian. It's based on reality of the Irish hunger strike.
Nice.
Back in the day.
I'm in.
But Michael, Steve McQueen is, I think, going to be one of the greats. I really do believe that he's going to be maybe like our next PTA.
Interesting.
This guy, I don't know why I have such faith in him. I do know why, because the two movies I've seen so far haven't blown me away, subject wise, but there's something about his ability and the way that it sticks with me. Now he's got one coming out. It's going to be, I can almost guarantee. It's rare that in February I'm sitting here saying I know a movie is going to be up for Best Picture next year. But I can almost guarantee that 12 Years a Slave is going to be up for Best Picture next year. This is his movie that I've talked about on this program before briefly. I put Shame on the list almost an excuse to talk about 12 Years a Slave because every now and again I get really – the last movie I was this excited about this far in advance was The Master. if you remember. Yeah. I was talking about The Master a lot.
And Prometheus before that.
But that was a couple months. I mean, Brad Pitt, all right, Michael Fassbender, of course, Quinn of Wallace, who's up for Best Actress this year.
Oh, Quvenzhané?
Yeah, Quvenzhané. Giamatti, Paul Dano, Michael Kenneth Williams. Hell, yes, that's Omar, Brian. Omar. Garrett Dillahunt.
He's in some TV show. Hey, Garrett Dillahunt.
I love him. You know what? T-Rock, it's his favorite actor. Our featured artist this week.
Yeah.
T-Rock. It's his favorite actor.
Garrett Dillahunt.
Yeah,
Garrett Dillahunt. Nice. Yeah, he was in the fucking Looper.
Dwight Henry, who was the father of Q, Quvenzhané, in Beasts of the Southern Wild, he's also in this. Taron Killam, who is a cast member on SNL.
Oh, okay.
One of the whitest cast members they have on there.
Sure, I recognize him.
And Chiwetel Ejiofor. I don't know if you're familiar with his work. Anyways, great cast. And it's about a man living in New York during the mid-1800s, and he's kidnapped and sold into slavery in the Deep South.
Oh, no.
It's going to be amazing, Brian. It's going to be a great, great movie.
Sounds
I can't
intense.
Wait.
Intense.
And this Steve
Shame.
Queen.
Shame.
He's,
Shame.
He's an artist, and I love what he's done so far. Even though I haven't enjoyed watching them, but they stick with you. It's what movies should be.
Number
so
three
Shame.
For me.
Don't watch Shame if you want to get your bang on.
Number three for me. I don't know if you've seen this one, but I've mentioned it before.
I guess yes.
Maybe.
Go ahead and guess
if you
yes.
have, you should regret it, because it's from 2007, written and directed by Francis Ford Coppola, and it's Youth Without Youth.
Oh, I've not seen.
Oh, boy.
You're I lucky. Gave up on you're Michael Cera when he was the same person every goddamn movie,
Michael
every goddamn
Cera.
Show. Isn't he?
No. This is a Tim Roth.
Whatever.
Not 2007. Youth Without Youth, Francis Ford Coppola's comeback film.
Oh, this is a... Yes, I know what you're talking about. I'm sorry.
Have you seen this one?
No.
Okay, you're a lucky man.
I don't like talking about things, bro.
Starring Tim Roth. It's a fucking brutal, interminable 124 minutes. Felt like twice as long. Reportedly, 170 hours of footage were shot over 85 days. This is not like an epic
movie. Wait, how many hours?
170.
Hours?
Hours.
That's really rare. That's very strange.
Yeah,
that's odd. You don't do that.
This is... It was self-financed. Coppola hadn't directed a film in something like 10 years. This is his first one that he did, and it was financed through the profits from his wine, his winemaking company, his vineyard, his winery.
Gallo.
No, false. Coppola. Then became something else, Rubicon?
All right, what's the movie about? I've heard the specs.
It's fucking brutal. It's, what is it here? It's hard to see. It was a huge flop. It's hard to see why a bunch of...
You know what? If you look at Coppola's resume, he's made way more flops than...
Oh, absolutely. And this only adds to the list. Yeah,
which I'm not saying that's a terrible thing. That's fine. But I don't think people realize that.
Yeah, he has... How many good movies did Francis Ford Coppola has
I'd
directed?
Say five. Five solid
I was thinking,
movies.
Yeah. It's hard to see why a bunch of studios didn't jump at the chance to fund a film about an Eastern European linguistics professor in 1938 who gets struck by lightning and begins to age backwards. It's sort of a much, much, much less fun
Mork
Benjamin
and Mindy.
Button. Well, I would say Benjamin Button.
Mork and Mindy.
I don't know where Mork and Mindy comes from.
Because Jonathan Winters was their child. He was born in an
egg,
and
I gotcha.
He was an old man.
Yeah. That's a bizarre reference.
6.2 on... I'm going to watch this. This sounds
pretty good. I may assign you to watch this film.
No, you will not.
No, I will not. This is just fucking brutal.
I was thinking of Youth and Revolt, which is the Michael Cera movie.
Youth Without Youth from 2007.
Which?
Is just a fucking interminable, boring...
Is it indefensible?
It'll kill any mood you're trying to set. So don't see Youth Without Youth.
Okay, number three for you. Is it time for me to move on?
Number three.
I'm looking at Youth Without Youth. It looks fantastic.
Yeah, you should see it.
I think I might have to. Okay, where am I going here? Hold on, let me get back to my stuff. And number three for me, Brian. I don't know if you saw this movie, but it's called Blue Valentine. Okay, it came out a couple years ago, 2010. Blue Valentine. Personal
that was a date movie.
Blue Valentine, date movie, exactly.
That's what I was told.
This almost didn't make the list, and I'm like, you know what? I need to put out warnings. I need to put this out there, and I have personal stories to go with it. All right, because the wife loves her Ryan Gosling, and who doesn't? I love Ryan Gosling.
Yeah,
The man's gonna be. He's like I think we said it recently. He's like the better, more talented George Clooney, I think.
If he should die tomorrow, because
oh no, he's the new James Dean.
Yeah, because his legend would live on forever.
His legacy is already very.
People tell tales about him.
But Blue Valentine is a Ryan Gosling movie, and Michelle Williams is also in it. Is that her name?
Yeah, for Mrs. Right? Heath Ledger.
Yes, and she's always great, and he's always great, and it's two of my favorite, two of my wife's favorites. So we sat down and watched. It's streaming. I believe it's streaming right now. So you might get cornered, boys.
Hmm?
If you have not, if your girlfriend has not seen this, or if you have a new date over at the house and she's like, oh, it's a Ryan Gosling movie and it's streaming, let's watch it. Here's what happens.
The trap, as Adiril Akbar would say.
Told mostly in flashbacks. It's kind of a set in present time where they are married. They've been married for about 5 years.
Okay.
And they're way out of love. They don't love each other anymore. They're married. They're stuck together.
Tell
it's very claustrophobic.
It.
The shots, I don't like the way the movie was shot. I know it was done purposely, but it's all very up in their grills. It's all up in their face. Really, really tight shots on almost every single scene. And I don't want to be that close. I'll give me some long shots. The flashbacks are more long, but you see how they fall in love, which is sweet and cute. But then you're right back in it where they're well out of love, which is so often the case in so many goddamn relationships. So not only are you sitting next to them, and I saw this before I got married to the wife. So not only is this racing through not only her head but your head, like, you know what, there's a very
this
good chance
headed.
That
this,
you know, 5 years down the road, this could be us. Here's the kicker. Here's what's coming around the backside. You got to sit there and listen to her explain to you that even though all that hair and makeup tried to do to make Ryan Gosling look old and unattractive after being married, can't do it. Doesn't matter if they make his hair look all thin and try and add some pounds and make him look more wrinkly. Can't make that man unattractive. Yeah. He is going to be hot no matter what you do. You can turn him into the Elephant Man. I will still find sexual attributes about that man's face.
That's right.
That's what you got to
hear.
He'll
be a good-looking older man someday.
So it's just the worst of all worlds. And on top of all that, it's dull as fuck. All right, so avoid Blue Valentine. It's not going to get you laid. And this is for someone who, not necessarily new to dating, but like I was, you know, 5-6 years in to the relationship.
Right.
And you sit down and you watch this. Definitely some doubts are going to – I know it's just a movie, but still.
Yeah,
you know, movies,
it speaks
subject
to you.
Matters. It gets people thinking certain down certain paths. And believe me, I was sitting there thinking, this could be us. This could be anyone. Just deadbeat, you know, nothing going on in his life. She's
dead eyes.
She's just looks at him and just thinks, what the fuck? And there's, like, you know, violence that occurs in a bit. But all the while, I know he's an asshole. I know he's a horrible person, but he's still hot as can be.
Did they at least work it out in the end?
I don't talk about the end. However, my last two, Brian, interchangeable. I mean, either one could really make the number one. And one of them I'm really going to break down, which I rarely do. And I will talk about the middle, beginning, and end. And I'll give spoiler alerts. And we're going to use the clock here, which we've never done before.
Wow.
I showed Logan how to use the clock.
Oh, the tick-tock, tick-tock?
We might do that.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking
about.
But
I'm going to give an exact... Logan's going to count me down, and I'm going to have exactly 2 minutes to say whatever I want about this movie.
Okay.
And I'm going to give away shit. But it needs to be discussed.
Yeah, but you're also performing a public service. You're not just telling people about the movie. You're saying, here's why this would not be a good choice.
Yeah, what you kind of have to do this week.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
But there are more warnings than anything else. A lot of time, if I'm saying, you got to see this movie for this, this, and this, we don't want to talk about it. But if you're like, hey, you shouldn't see the movie for this, this, and this, it's okay. But I understand there's still some people that are going to want to watch these movies I'm talking about. And you're not gonna want to hear every fucking detail. I get it.
Yeah. We'll find out what they are next. Good news, guys. Whether you like or dislike the feature artists on Film Vault, the good news is if you like them, submit your own artist or your own self to join the ranks of the artists that you love. If you hate them, submit your own self or artist that you know to compete and better the artist that you love. Be our feature artist. We'd love to have you guys, or your music, or your friend's music, or your unsigned band that you're a fan of. Send it along. We'd love to make it a feature artist of the week, and that way Anderson can rock out.
Just make sure if you send someone else's band that they have permission, or they give you permission.
Yeah, don't just go sending willy-nilly.
I got this new Ricky Nelson album you're going to like.
Ricky Nelson. He's signed. Anyhow, where do they send it? AndersonandBrian.com is where they go. There's a big feature arts button right there, right, Logan?
That is correct. Right on the homepage.
AndersonandBrian.com. Feature arts of the week, B1. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're back.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks again. DJ T-Rock and Squashy Nice. Their album, Getting Through, is out now. And check them out at andersonandbryan.com.
It's Hot Lanta.
They have a website, djt-rock.com, but you can get to it there from andersonandbryan.com.
That's right. We link through. And no, honestly, check it out. It's some good stuff. It's good background music. It's good to drive.
It's atmospheric.
It's good for writing. Yeah, got to tell you.
Ooh, maybe I should try it.
Yeah, she should. Yay. If you're in a funk, Brian, throw it on.
Throw it on. Will do. Hey, by the way, you guys, just a reminder, if you or someone you know, a friend or a loved one, is a young person affected by
Oh, my God. I thought we were doing this biweekly. We're doing it every goddamn week.
Pretty sure I mentioned it 3 weeks ago.
He did not do it last week.
Really?
I've been keeping track for you.
It was the tumor.
If someone you know, a loved one, is affected by cancer, check them out. Have them check out this charity thing I'll be doing in Vegas in April, omg2013.org. It'll be a fun time to get away from their troubles and focus exclusively on cancer for the weekend.
And what?
Focus exclusively on cancer for the whole weekend.
How does that work, Brian? I don't understand.
It's a summit. So we're going to go there and we're going to talk about all sorts of shit. Everything from...
Why is it OMG?
Because it's for young people. That's what young people say. They say OMG.
Is it OMG chemo LOL?
It could be. No. The website is omg2013.org.
Oh, my God. Chemo.
That's so chemo.
Mm.
Anyway, check it out. I'll be doing
it. You going to do camp this summer with me, buddy?
It's very, very, very unlikely.
Yeah,
well, that would require
Why would you get back?
That would require me to go away for a week.
That would require you to do something good for children.
I feel like I'm doing something great for our young people.
You're like, I will go to Vegas and be on a panel and have everyone stare at me as I speak into a microphone about my trials and tribulations.
Well, I feel like I'm reaching
people helping
that
children
way.
In a cabin? No. That's way above
that. Yeah, that pretty much explains how I feel.
Number two for you.
For me. Oh, my God, never have two words been so close and so far apart at the same time, separated by one letter. If you spelled this title with a P, it'd be Partiers, but no.
Rartiers?
Martyrs.
Martyrs!
Martyrs from 2008. Oh, it's on your list of most disturbing.
Because that's the only, okay, my five movies on my top five most disturbing list, that's the only one that you've dared to watch, right?
What are the other ones? Solo. And,
Solo, yeah, the 120 Solo. Days
oh, yeah,
of Solo.
Absolutely.
You haven't seen Antichrist?
Nope.
Oh, you got such great things to look forward to, Brian.
For what?
Oh.
Remember you punished me for making me watch Martyrs? You had a choice to watch either that or
You got
the
a
Wire.
Serbian film to look forward to. Not rated version. You will not avoid the newborn porn. And of course, Irreversible.
I'm so looking forward to all of this.
I'm going to have, you know what? I can't wait to win Christmas week this year, 2013. I'm going to make you watch Irreversible,
yeah.
the week of our Lord Savior.
Nice. Martyrs from 2008 is written and directed by Pasquale
Loggie. French fuck. Listen.
French film.
Did you really try and pass off the name as being close to parties?
If you change parties? Martyrs to Partiers.
It's a stretch, man.
It's never have two words been so close yet so far apart.
Is that how you spell partiers?
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Brian, stop stretching.
Sorry, buddy. I just looked at Martyrs and I was like, well, it's so close to partiers.
It's not, though.
I don't know.
You're having a problem reading, writing.
You know what it
everything.
Is?
Everything.
Ah. You know what it is?
Is it the fact that...
I pre-sniffed.
Okay.
This is basically 94 nonstop minutes of pain and or torture. Mm-hmm. You don't so much watch it as you do when you endure it.
Yeah,
that's right. At a certain point, at a certain point in the film, I actually was watching it and like the girl's getting her ass kicked. And then at a certain point, I actually fucking yelled out loud, oh my God, there's more. And there was in fact more. I'm not sure if it's a good movie.
Pretty. No. You know that it is. We've talked about this. That's a quality movie. It's a quality made film.
I certainly have thought about it afterwards. It
quality.
Certainly stays with you.
But I'm saying the production value.
The quality of the filmmaking, yes, is good.
And
it's not
it
a,
keeps
it's not
you
a student
captivated.
Film. Yeah.
Storytelling is good. The characters, acting is good.
I don't know about the storytelling. It's basically 94 minutes
great.
Of ass kicking.
The twist at the end is one of the greatest I've ever seen.
Is it a twist?
Eh, it's a reveal.
It's a reveal. It's a reveal. It's not a twist. It's a reveal.
It's kind of a twist because they got you thinking one way, and then it turns out that...
Okay. Well, see it, listeners, and let us know. I say it's a reveal,
Don't see it unless you kind of roll that way. I honestly wish I had not seen these fucking movies. Made me less of a man, Brad.
Yeah, this is... I don't know what to say other than...
We need to come up with a new term. It's like shell-shocked or post-traumatic stress disorder, but it's all about...
It's all about movies?
Movies, yeah. For people that have seen these fucked up movies. I got one coming up.
Oh, really?
Post-cinematic stress disorder.
Post-cinematic PCSD, Brad.
Wow, PCSD.
God, that's a pussy thing to say.
Well, I've been affected with PCSD after seeing this movie. Do you feel good about the fact that you've taken a little bit of innocence away?
Yeah. I did a lot of drugs.
And by the way, You've also we need to make a list. Logan should do this. Logan, earn that 15%. Make a list of the movies we've assigned each other to watch. I want to average out the star ratings of both. You've made me watch many more worse films.
No.
You made me watch Fred the Movie.
Okay, you know, like...
S. Darko.
I'm going to go with baseball, because you're a baseball fan. You know, like, if you're a pitcher and you go out on the mound and you don't get one out and you give up, like, let's say 9 runs, all right, your ERA is through the roof, right?
It's infinity.
Yeah. That's kind of what you did with Just Friends.
You're fucked forever. Oh, no.
Fucked forever. You'll never, ever be able to say that you've made me... I've made you watch worse
Why
movies.
Why are they dancing?
Because Friends, Just Friends, it completely throws your
just
entire
Friends is
average.
Just Friends a good movie. Mm-hmm. Such a good
the
movie.
The fact that you sit there.
I love
and
Just
say
Friends.
That, and you're not saying it to be funny or... Brian.
Logan, have you seen Just Friends?
Yeah, I've seen it.
It's a fun movie.
Yeah. It's okay.
What? Okay?
Why are they dancing?
In high school,
why
so I kind of enjoyed it, but I haven't seen it since then.
See, Logan,
why are they dancing?
In high school, probably has the worst taste in fucking ice cream.
Like the first half of high school, too, when my taste was really bad.
Here's all you need to know about Just Friends. At one point, Ryan Reynolds gets thrown out of a
bar.
Literally gets thrown out
of
a bar.
We're not going to break down Just Friends right now.
The bartender throws him out into the snow, and as he throws him out, he says, "And stay out!" And then as he turns around and walks back into the bar, he mutters under his breath, "I always wanted to say that." Fucking awesome. That's fantastic.
That's all it takes. Hey, we're talking about that. Logan's opinion. Logan, you see, I think I said, did I have you watch King of the Hill last week?
Martyrs?
Yeah, you said I could watch it, and I did.
I told you were allowed to watch it.
Yeah.
That's nice of me.
You gave him permission to stream the movie?
It just popped up in my instant queue without me even adding it.
Oh, really?
No.
Yeah, I just will people. That would be great.
What if you
had to
add movies to people's queue?
Just like will them into people's queues. Awesome. Everyone gets home, Martyrs, top of the list.
Netflix has nothing good. We think of everything good to do for them.
Did you like it?
I did. I really liked it.
Yes.
It was one of those movies that I'm glad I heard about it on this show because it's one of the benefits of listening to the show.
Isn't it odd that people don't cite this movie or bring it up more often? It's such a good quality movie, and like I'm guilty as well. Like I've been doing this show for a couple of years now, and number of years, and I've thought about it, but I've never actually talked about it at length on the show or really brought it up.
I think it's a victim of the fact there's no stars in it. There's no stars in it.
Yeah, but
Brian makes a good point too. There's not really much plot there. It's just him suffering for
Anderson.
What's the story of the film?
The story is a kid who is living in the Depression and he's going through many trials and tribulations, much like you are, Brian.
It does set a very strong scene.
You're right.
And the whole keeping of the of his room and
the story.
There's many obstacles that he has to. I mean, it's like a war movie. It's like what's the plot of a war movie?
Good.
It's one fucking battle after another. I think plot is overrated. Plot is overrated. As long as there's obstacles for the character, if you care about that character and there's many obstacles for them to overcome and they do it in creative ways, fuck yeah. Amen. Sign me up.
There you go.
What do you want, Brian?
It's a good movie. It's a solid B, in my opinion.
I don't understand the plot being thin, though.
It's not that it was... Well, I mean... They're just,
help me
it
understand.
Was,
there wasn't a lot of was, plot there.
It was just, more showing what that time period was like rather than telling
which,
a story.
Capturing the era.
Yes, and it was
and
so
it did
good
do
at that.
That very well.
And this should have... Have we done top 5 period pieces?
We've done top 5 movies set in the 50s.
This was not there. Okay. All right.
But we can do it by decade.
Number 4 for me.
Number two for me.
Yeah.
The fourth film.
Yeah, I get backwards here. Here's where I'm going to need to employ Logan's help.
Who's Logan?
Logan, I am going... Okay, I'll give the details of the movie right off the bat. If you've seen it, great. If you're queasy or you don't like to have to look away because of violent scenes, let me tell you right now, this is not a movie for you. Let me just grade it here with the as far as the violence goes. A scene that happens at the end of Red, White, and Blue, 2010 movie, came out last year. I talked about it not too long ago. 3 years ago now. Jesus Christ. 2010. It's on Instant. It's on Netflix Instant, 2010, called Red, White, and Blue. Revenge movie at its core. There's a scene at the end that rivals the Irreversible scene in the beginning.
Oh, no.
Okay, it's in the same league. Same ballpark! So, if you're not into that, then you can continue to listen.
The face bashing or the raping?
The face bashing.
Okay.
Face bashing. It's more similar to the face bashing.
There's a skull-crushing scene in Martyrs, too.
Yes, there is. Okay, now, if you're not going to watch because of that thing, and also if you're not looking to watch movies that are not good for date movies, it would not be great for watching with your significant other, then go ahead and listen to the rest. Now, if you want to watch Red, White, and Blue, and you have not seen it yet, then 2 minutes starting when we say fast forward. Because I know that the app, you can fast forward 30 seconds at a time. So hit that thing 4 times, and I should be done. Hopefully, I can wrap this up in 2 minutes, okay? So my number two, Red, White, and Blue, 2010, on instant, made by a French man, and I'm going to start spoiling the fuck out of it now. Bang? Bang. Okay, it's labeled drama horror, Brian, and that's the best thing to describe. It's a very, very simple movie. It's a revenge flick at its core. It's about a British director, which always gets me a little bit worried when a movie is titled Red, White, and Blue. There's American flags, iconography
all
over it.
Those are the French colors, too, though.
You gotta be quiet. It takes place in Tejas, which is the middle of America, if you want to look at the actual map. The main character, her name is Erica. I don't think that's a mistake, Brian. It's the second half of America. Her name is Erica, played by Amanda Fuller, who's in some form of Buffy. You might know her from Buffy TV or something.
Amanda Fuller.
She sleeps with everyone. She's a fucking what they call whore, slut.
Yeah.
I don't like those words, but that's what she is. She goes out looking for a new man every night. Some nights, she sleeps with an entire band, which happens in the movie. She sleeps with the entire fucking band, all three guys. She says, and I quote, "I don't use condoms. Condoms are for fags." So she doesn't use
a
condom.
Drop.
Okay. I think it's a commentary, really, on America and the state of America. And I think that she almost actually is like the sexy side of America that goes and fuck. How long? A minute? You say
one minute?
God damn it!
2 minutes is not near enough.
Nate, who is Noah Taylor plays Nate. He's from The Proposition. He was in last year's Submarine. He's also in Vanilla Sky. Brian.
Yeah,
he plays Edmund
Taylor.
Ventura.
He's the Ben manager.
Edmund Ventura.
In Almost Famous.
Okay, turns out she has fucking AIDS, all right? And she's fucking all these guys. She knows she has AIDS, and she's giving all these guys AIDS.
Yeah.
She befriends, or a guy befriends her, an Iraqi veteran who is actually an interrogator. He tortures Iraqis while he's in the military. He comes back. Now he's with her. He loves her. He doesn't want to have sex with her. He just loves her. And he goes and he gets the people that she gave the AIDS to, specifically the band members. How long?
15 seconds.
Oh, especially with the band members. They come after her. They kill her. He finds out about it. Nate finds out about it. He goes, he kills them all one by one by one because she gave them AIDS. They killed her. Now he's getting tortured.
Jesus.
And the last scene involves the worst decapitation scene you can imagine.
Oh, no.
Done.
I can imagine a pretty bad decapitation.
All right.
Scenes.
Quiet. Why would you heard him say done.
Yeah, it could have been the very
first
scene.
We made it.
Though.
The 2 minutes, 120 seconds was perfect. And then you have to throw out decapitation. Why would you do that?
That's a tease. All I just said was decapitation scene.
You're like the little kid on the playground.
I have ADHD. All I said was decapitation scene.
Well, that's like that's the whole...
You're giving away now. All I said was decapitation scene. It could have been the fucking opening credits.
Well, here's the thing. There is no decapitation scene. I kind of went overboard, though.
Okay.
But let me tell you. I mean, if all of the other subject matter is not enough to like turn you off, to end with that...
Sounds pretty rough.
Now, all that being said, I... really, really enjoyed aspects of this movie. Really, really liked it.
The closing credits?
The one character, I'm not giving anything away, guys. We're done with the 2 minutes of spoiling. You know, I'm not gonna be overt about it. But there are scenes with the lead character where he's interrogating some people and their kids, and it's some of the best filmmaking I've seen in It's really top tier.
Wow.
It's really, really good. It's
all right.
Fucking compelling and riveting.
Shit.
And really well done. And Noah Taylor, I don't know much about him, but he's great in this.
Yeah, he's been in a lot of movies, though.
All right. Well, you're Mr. Fucking I Know Actors.
That's a good point.
I don't.
Noah Taylor's great.
Vanilla Sky. He was Sky Edmund.
Yeah, he was. And he was in...
Sky Edmund. He was Edmund Ventura.
That's right. He was Tech Support.
So, Red, White, and Blue. On instance, if you got the stomach for it and you like interesting movies, it's slow.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to a girl just earlier tonight, actually, asking her if she saw it, and she said she fell asleep and woke up. The end scene woke her up. But she's a stoner.
Okay.
She can't follow things very well.
Number one for me.
She needs a lot of stimuli, Brian.
I feel like this film is a film you like very much. Didn't we discuss earlier films that are effective versus good? Like, I appreciate them, but I recognize they're good, but I can't enjoy them. This is a prime example. This might be my number one example.
That's about 60% of the movies we talk about on this show.
This might be number one.
But you got to get to a point, Brian, where the goodness of it, the well-madeness of it, actually makes you enjoy it. Like, makes you know what I mean?
No, not the case for this.
Get you off? Get you off a little bit?
I know what you mean.
You know what I mean?
Not this one for me. From 1997, Neil LaBute's In the Company of
Yeah!
But you can see
how do you not enjoy this movie?
But you can see how this would be a bad date movie.
Yeah, if you're with a woman who doesn't know you that well and she's not too sure about guys in general, this is not the path you want to take her down. This is on my also-ran list.
Starring
I have it written down right here.
Starring a then-unknown Aaron Eckhart, Matt Malloy, and Stacey Edwards, I suppose it's effective, quote-unquote, and then it sort of elicits a certain response from the viewer. But at its heart, it's a mean, cruel movie that's very unpleasant to watch.
It's kind of like, for those of you who might be familiar with Tom Likas, it's the filmmaker, writer, director, Neil LaBute, who's made some shit since. Unfortunately, I was very excited about his career, and I've seen most all of his movies he's made since. Nurse Betty, he made that. Love
that one. Nurse Betty is my favorite movie by far.
In the Company of Men is my favorite by far. It's a very small movie. Cost him like $100,000 or something. It's very similar to Kevin Smith. He actually took out a loan, got a bunch of favors in the Mormon community because he is a practicing Mormon. Not
Neil
Jack
LaBute?
Mormon. Practicing Mormon. Uh-huh. Doesn't drink coffee, no caffeine, no tobacco.
Wow.
Practicing Mormon.
He's
and
a playwright.
And knowing that, very smart guy. Knowing that, I think this movie is almost like a warning to women. Like, this is how fucked men can be.
Interesting.
I mean, it's just shy of a rapist. And these two guys
in
could be considered
worse.
Mental
in
rapists
some
in some ways worse.
And
not to talk about old Roger Ebert twice in one episode, but he wrote this one up and he said, or maybe it was me. I can't remember. It might have been me. I think it might have been me.
Anderson Ebert.
somebody equated it to, it might have been me. I don't know. It's like watching one of those nature videos and you watch a gazelle getting taken down by a lion.
I think that was Ebert.
It feels the same way. Like you watch, you just feel like a water buffalo is getting taken down in front of you. It's so...
It's two guys who do horrible things to a woman. Poor deaf woman.
But it's so over the top. It's like, you know, okay, you know what? This was made in 97, right? Mm-hmm. All right, now I don't know how much of a fan of you are of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and we just had Glenn Howerton in here, one of the salts of the earth.
Passed him on the way in.
Great fucking guy. His wife, even better than he is.
I tripped him.
I love both those people. Glenn Howerton, writer, star of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Are you familiar?
Yeah, of course. I watch every episode.
In the Company of Men, same spirit as It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Oh, no.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
No, false.
In fact,
this is Always Sunny is overtly going for laughs, and there's like setups
this
and punchlines.
No, I think you're dismissing it, Brian. In the Company of Men, overtly going for laughs. Aaron Eckhart's character is fucking laugh out loud funny throughout. Hilarious.
Hmm.
When he's going over, he gives a speech about axe and ask. To a young African-American intern.
Oh, yeah, the kid and the intern. Oh, yeah.
He has him drop his pants and talks about ball size. It's very funny. The movie is very, very funny, and it's definitely in the same spirit. I think that you're forgetting. Definitely in the same spirit.
Maybe. I just remember being mean and unpleasant. I wonder if any woman has ever seen and enjoyed this movie. Appreciated it, sure.
I've made
that.
At least two women watch it because I'm kind of stupid that way. Like, yeah. Honestly, honey, you're going to think it's funny. You'll see the funniness, and it's not going over well.
If you're part of the 8% and you've seen this movie and actually enjoyed it, which I assume is extraordinarily unlikely, email us. Let us know.
Here's the, I think what Anderson Brian's picking up on is it is low quality. It is, I think it might be shot on 16 or Super 16. Very, very long takes because of money constraints.
Feels very student filmish.
It does. I mean, it's his first movie and he had, you know, lots of budget concerns. And I think that might be what you're picking up on. Yeah. But the writing was fucking hilarious.
All right.
Really funny. Tragic, but funny.
Tragically funny.
Number one for me.
Number one. I'm dying to see what this is.
This is a movie.
People like.
That I read message boards. I read people's takes on it. I read a number of reviews trying to find redeeming qualities in this movie. People are a defendant. I can't find anything redeeming about Dead Girl. Came out in 2008. It's on Instant, so you can all watch it yourselves if you're sick and you're fucked. In the head. It's about a girl. It's about two teenage... Essentially, it's a study on teenage...
it's about a girl who's dead.
A teenage horn-doggedness.
Okay.
Hormones. Horniness. And just what lengths they'll go to, okay. Right? A girl is found dead. I saw it once not too long... couple years ago, and I have no interest in watching it again. I can tell you that it involves two young boys who find a dead girl, young girl, attractive girl. Mm. Yet she's not really dead, but she is dead. Her body's cold and all. The name of the movie is Dead Girl, right?
Yeah.
The tagline is, you never forget your first time.
Oh.
So you might have an idea of where it goes, Brian.
Wait, what do you mean she's not really dead? Is she dead or not?
It doesn't really explain it. There's some supernatural shit going on. Okay. There's a dog at her side. She's on a gurney the whole time. She's got bullet wounds, Brian. I would be lying if I said those bullet wounds were not violated.
Oh. I don't need this.
No. There's green goo that emits from her gun.
Is anyone
gun
known
wounds?
In this film? Anyone known?
Noah Segan?
Nope.
Yes, he plays the what has been suggested to be possibly the young Jeff Daniels in Looper.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, interesting. Okay. You know what's funny? I meant to bring that up. Sorry, footnote. I wonder if that was like Jeff Daniels' son in Looper.
No. Huh? I think we've already said too much. No, for those who have not seen
anything,
Looper.
Really.
For those who have not seen Looper. I mean, anyway. But he's kind of, if anything, this movie is a study of just how far teen, I don't want to say angst. What's the word? Sexual depravity will go.
Okay.
Am I saying that?
Yeah, depravity. Depravity.
With all the hormones. I mean, I don't think that women understand just what, I mean, guys like from 12, 13 to about 22, 23 are like on drugs. They're like on, you're going to be horny all the time drugs.
Mm.
And this is kind of a study along the lines of two young boys who don't really get a whole lot of play at school find a very attractive young body that may or may not be dead down in a dungeon, like in an old abandoned insane asylum.
Mm.
And they go visit it after school
every
day.
They do things to it.
And they do things to it. And there's some questions of morals and ethics that come up.
Ethics!
There is some arguing between the two. And I remember one of them is trying to do the right thing, but still shows up all the time.
Sure.
And it just gets worse and more uncomfortable.
Wow.
And I can't imagine that. This is totally from a guy's point of view. Actually, from both point of view. If you're a girl, there's no way you're going to say, hey, let's watch Dead Girl with your new date.
Sure.
If you're a guy, unless you're just something seriously wrong with you and you plan on making your date dead, you're not going to be watching this with them either. It's not even so much a warning. I mean, it doesn't take much to. Plus, the poster for the movie, let me pull it up real quick for you, Brian. It just looks like a dead vagina.
Oh, no.
Yeah, let me show you real quick. I'll show you this.
A live vagina looks bad enough.
It's her lips sideways, but they make it, let's see,
kind of
like
yeah.
A little bit like a green dead vagina, you see, with some teeth.
Swollen with teeth.
Yeah, so that's my number one.
I said I'm horny now.
These are all movies you should not. Or if you're with somebody, you think they might be the one, this Valentine's Day, watch all five of mine.
Or if you want to break up with someone.
Couple of Brian's and see if your relationship can survive it. If so, hey, happy trails. Go get married.
My list 5-1, where there's a three-way tie, number 5 for 21 Grams, Mystic River, and The Pledge. Also Paradise Lost, Youth Without Youth, Martyrs, and In the Company of Men.
My 5-1 was The Loved Ones, 2009's The Loved Ones. There's some head drilling.
Sure.
Shame, 2011.
Some head drilling.
Shame, 2011. Steve McQueen's Shame, 2011. Blue Valentine, Red, White, and Blue, to top it off with Dead Girl. And also, I got a couple noteworthy also-rans, Brian.
We hear the listener first?
If you want, yeah. I mean, it's a first time ever. I've never done this before on this program.
Was what?
I want to hear the listeners first. I always do that. I always try and step over the listeners. I want to give the listeners the last, but, you know, let's go ahead.
If you want to be a part of our listener top five, by the way, Facebook or Twitter.
All right, number 5, Blue Valentine.
Whoa!
Yeah, smart.
Really?
Smart.
Yeah. Wow. Number 4, Teeth. I thought that was a good inclusion.
Is that a real movie?
Yes, it's about the vagina with teeth.
We're looking at one right now, a Dead Girl poster.
No, but don't you remember Teeth? Came out like 4 years
ago? No, I said that,
six years ago.
I thought it was like either a short or like a made-up trailer.
Apparently it's a real fear that idiot men have. It's like some kind of primal fear that what if I put my penis in there and there's teeth, it's like a mouth, I might get ripped off.
Guys, I put my penis in many vaginas and I've only been bitten once.
Brian, what did we talk about? We're going to be honest on this program. No more fucking cliched bullshit.
Sorry.
Number 3, Antichrist.
Yeah, I can see that.
Number two, The Human Centipede.
Yeah.
And the number one movie not to see on a date, as voted on by our listeners, is Irreversible.
Yeah.
I feel like the right kind of girl could get down with The Human Centipede, because that's a silly movie.
Or Irreversible. The right kind of gay guy, this is awful for me to say, and I know, I love the gays. There's how many, like seven or eight gay guys and women?
In the world?
At my wedding.
Oh.
All right. I hate when I upset the gay community, but guys, honestly, stop being cliches of yourselves. There's some hardcore gay guys that we'll see in that opening scene that takes place in the Rectum, which is a gay club. And there's some, if those were all chicks doing that to each other and I was into that style of chick, I could get into it.
Now, what are you going to do for the first time?
God, I wish I could cut out everything I just said.
That's true. It was pretty damning.
It was kind of damning, you're right.
You started out by saying some of my best friends are gays.
What?
You basically started out by saying, some of my best friends are gay.
It's true. It's true.
What are you going to do for the first time?
First time. I'm going to talk about a couple movies that are on my... Well, first of all, also Rans. In the Company of Men, I had that on there. The Accused. That'd be a good one not to see on a date, because it involves Jodie Foster being raped multiple times by multiple people. Sleeping with the Enemy. It's a good one, right? The Fly. Nothing but filthy
human... You
know human.
What? Good call.
The Fly.
Good
this
call.
Is, turn off.
There's not right? much to find attractive about the Fly.
And I can't remember if it's the first one or the second one, but there is an actual maggot that is birthed at one point, which is definitely going to turn
that
off.
That is number one.
That was number one. Yeah, she has
and
a
also,
horrible dream about
I
a
feel
maggot
like
coming
the
out
first
of her. The
first act, maybe, of The Fly is okay. It's just kind of whatever. It's all set up, but it really leaves a bad taste in your mouth.
Can you imagine like watching that, sitting on the couch watching The Fly with your wife and then being like, all right, honey, let's get home. Let's get it out. You seen enough goop to make you.
Let's make our own pupa.
And then finally, a couple movies I've never seen before.
Oh.
Which I don't plan on seeing.
Interesting.
One was already mentioned by the listeners. I have not seen it. Teeth. But that deserves to be on there. It's about a vagina with the goddamn teeth. Okay. And then a movie called Shoah.
Oh, the Holocaust movie.
It's a Holocaust
the
movie.
The 10-hour Holocaust movie?
9.5-hour documentary.
That's right.
Not a single frame of archival footage. It's all interviews from survivors and... secretive shooting. What's it called?
Guerrilla style?
Yeah, guerrilla style. What's it called? Something with an S. Goddamn brain. When you shoot when they don't know that you're shooting them. Surviving Nazis.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So he interviews them. They're like, I don't want to be on camera, but you can record my voice. And then he actually shoots footage of them. So it's probably up their nostrils as they're talking about killing.
That'll learn them.
9.5 hours. Can't imagine. Actually, you know what? Yeah, I can't imagine.
A couple also rants from the listeners. Requiem for a Dream.
Yeah, that'll do it.
Funny Games.
At least in Requiem for a Dream, there's nudity.
The Passion of the Christ.
And boning with a dildo.
Schindler's List. Mm. And I included this one because I was just having a heated discussion with my roommate a couple nights ago about it. It's Team America World Police. And we both have stories of taking girls to see this movie and them just being horrified and not getting it at all.
Yeah, but the right kind of girl will find it funny. A girl with a brain.
Yeah, you can say the same thing about like South Park's Bigger, Longer, Uncut. You know, like if you take a girl to like a boys' comedy movie,
yeah,
you're gonna get that.
The instance I'm thinking of from this specific
movie, the pooping
movie,
on the face. Perhaps.
No, it was the sex scene. She just didn't think it was funny.
Well, that's
that it
the
was
pooping
over
on the
oh,
face.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
And then for him, it was the vomiting scene in the alley where he gets kicked out of the bar and just excessively vomits all over the place.
I laughed a lot in that scene.
You ever see? You ever seen The Company of Med there?
I have not.
The Company of Med?
Should I? Oh,
no,
you
save yourself.
You absolutely should.
Should not.
I think you will see the humor in this, Logan. I don't want to, you know, actually, you know, I feel like Logan's our kid. I'm like the dad, you're the mom. I'm like, you're going to like it, son. And he's not sure which
don't
one.
Don't do it.
I can see him like pulling you aside going, I really didn't like it. Right.
But dad forced me to. And I want to disappoint
dad
him.
Dad made you. I really don't like playing football. Please,
but,
mommy.
But we're going camping next week, and he's going to beat me.
Ooh, camping.
All right, gambling time.
Oh, yeah.
I have a bad feeling about this.
All right, as mentioned before, last week you guys gambled on Warm Bodies. At the time,
not a
Anderson
good movie.
Did 68%, Brian 41%, yeah. And the Rotten Tomato score at the time with 7 reviews was 100%.
Yeah, it was. It was 100%. Idiots.
Times.
Fools.
Now... Currently, the Wednesday after release.
Lucky to be at 40%.
The Rotten Tomatoes score is 77%.
Didn't you just say in your thing it was like 70%?
Yeah, because I looked it up.
Yeah.
Maybe Anderson the winner.
What did I?
68. So you're off by 2.
God damn it.
Close again. Last week you were only off by 1.
Yeah, that's crazy. You're honing in, buddy. Are you cheating?
Yeah, that's what I do, Brian. I cheat.
You cheat somehow?
I went a couple weeks in a row, and Brian has accused me of cheating. You won like
close.
Remarkably close. It was 100 when I said 7.
I know. You punk couldn't possibly.
I had a movie picked out for you and everything because I knew that I won because I looked it up.
Well, you can think about it into why we gamble.
Okay. It was Bug, I think, wasn't it?
I don't know if you should see that, though. I feel bad for Bri. I've been having him watch at least.
Am I see Les Mis?
No, we're going to see that anyway.
So we got to gamble. That for you.
Yeah, go ahead.
What do we gamble on this week, Logan?
All right, this week you guys are going.
We should reset the gambling from time to time because we have new listeners who are like, what are they gambling on? We are gambling on the Rotten Tomatoes score of the new release of one of the new releases of the week.
Yeah, you know what? The Rotten Tomatoes score is, I forget myself sometimes. It's like when I see something's like 66%, I'm like, that's not too good. No, that means 66 out of 100 professional critics give the thumbs up.
Yeah.
That's
positive
pretty good.
Reviews.
That's pretty fucking good.
These are strictly positive versus negative reviews.
48% is actually, hey, you know what? Half of the people that get paid to watch movies like this, that's pretty fucking good. You know what I mean?
It's
not like the critics all get to say, I think it's, you know, like 5 out of 10 stars.
Sure.
That would be shitty.
Yeah.
It's a very different system.
It's half give it a positive review.
So I think when they say that it's rotten, certifiably rotten, that's not right. That's rude.
Martyrs is like 49 or 51% because it divided critics so sharply on that.
Yeah, a lot of the time some of the best movies out there are going to be like very divisive.
Divisive.
Right?
Yeah. All right, what are we gambling on?
This week, you're going to be gambling on the Melissa McCarthy vehicle Identity Thief.
That's Melissa McCarthy.
Jason Bateman.
Goddamn posters are raping my eyes.
Jason Bateman's
interchangeable. Every red light. Rape my eyes.
Ooh.
That and what's that movie about the witches? There's posters for that all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Something
Shadows or Souls. Something.
Yeah, with Jeremy Irons. I was like, what's wrong? Why dark Shadows? No. No,
and that was last year's.
Yeah, you're right. What the fuck? It's this time of year for movies. So guys, this doesn't mean that I don't know about movies. I just ignore, as I proved with that one, The Last Stand movie, a few weeks ago. Yeah, I ignore movies that I think that I will hate. And that I just it's like every now and again, like a movie is so wrong and just doesn't. Mm-hmm. Add up like why they would even make it into a feature and try and get money. It's embarrassing and sad. I just try to look the other way because I love movies. I don't want to even have that in the pot. You know what I mean?
What do I do with Identity Thief?
What do I do with making you watch a movie? God damn it.
Okay, yes. I have a number.
All right, go ahead.
You have a number? Write it down. Cut all this out.
No, I'm gonna do this. All right, I typed it.
What is it?
And my number is 43.
43? I have 25%.
Ooh. I think this could be some
good low. This is the second week in a row, though. I've gone low and you've gone higher than me significantly.
I know nothing. I don't know who wrote it, directed it, nothing. Nothing. It's a tough time of year.
All right. Currently, the Wednesday before release with 12 reviews, Identity Thief's Rotten Tomatoes score is 42%.
God damn, I feel like I'm in Vegas and I just hit.
12 reviews, though, so don't get too excited.
No, but that's close. I mean, I think I've nailed it once.
Oh, you guys are usually fairly off on the prediction. So.
What? Logan, what do you mean? Quiet time.
No, I'm just saying that this is actually that's a good thing because you are pretty close in your guess.
What
was
normally, you? 25?
Yeah.
Oh, but it's going to go down. Oh, God damn it. God damn it.
It could go up.
Yeah.
You know all the Jason Bateman fans have gone out, went out to see it.
Unlikely.
Trash Humpers.
No.
Right up your alley.
Me.
No, actually, no, because you haven't been a dick lately. Just no, I want you to know that that's in the chamber.
Okay.
It's aimed at your head. All right. This week, Amelie.
Oh, Amelie. I think I actually have that on DVD.
It is so goddamn good. I can't believe it's horrific.
You're going to have to read subtitles, but if you have the DVD,
he's fine.
If you have the DVD, you could put the dub on.
Yeah, there's going to be a dub version.
Do not dub this movie, Brian.
Why?
Because it's fucking perfect. Don't touch it.
There's not very much words spoken in
it. It's not. It's all visual.
Okay, dope.
It's almost all visual.
Good. I've always wanted to see Amelie.
And Matthew Kasovitz makes an appearance at the end there, Brian.
Kasovitz?
Matthew Kasovitz. He's the guy that directed Hate, which I'm always going on about. But then he also made Gothica. But Amelie, hell to the yes. You'll thank me, Brian.
I'm looking forward to it.
You better come in here and hug me.
Speaking of thanks, Thanks, DJ T-Rock and Squashy Nice. They were great. Their album out now, Getting Through, Atlanta, Georgia's own. DJ T-Rock and Squashy Nice. AndersonandBrian.com. That's where you go to comment on the episodes. Check out all the films we talk about. And the old honorable mentions search function there. You can see any film. You're like, what was that film I talked about? It's right there.
Youth and Revolt.
Not Youth and Revolt. Youth Without Youth.
I know. I thought it was Youth Without Youth.
Youth
and Revolt.
Yeah. Links to our sponsors. The old Amazon banner is right there. Don't forget about OMG2013.org.
Oh, my God.
Well, the people have,
oh my God.
People have friends who are affected by this horrible disease.
I'm trying to help you with your plug. I'm just saying it out loud.
Oh, my God. OMG.
Oh, my God.
That's right. 23 now. Facebook, Twitter.
Really?
Is the Film Vault.
After Disaster.
The Film Vault. TheAfterDisaster.com.
Oh, last week, Brian. Not a pleasant After Disaster.
Why?
Furious with Mr. Carano. I have not seen him since. It's going to be an awkward one.
Oh, no. What happened?
Yeah. He didn't show up. He was hanging out with Paul McCartney, so he didn't come. Can you believe that?
What an asshole.
Paul McCartney's like a 73-year-old man or some shit. And he could
be dead soon.
Oh, I was so mad. I was so fucking angry. I'm better now.
AndersonandBrian.com is where you go for all Film Vault related needs. Thanks for doing what you do with the Amazon banner. We appreciate it. And until next time,
doing it for Van Gogh.